This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be in studio today with Tiffany Royce, my guest for this episode. Now, Tiffany and I live in the same neighborhood. We met at a neighborhood happy hour, and I knew her as a neighbor and as a realtor before I ever even realized she also attended the church that I attend. So we discovered along the way that we attend the same church, and I do not know her story. I don't really know anything about what God has done in her life, and I'm very excited to hear it today. So, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm excited to be here.
Okay, let's dig in. I want to start first because, frankly, I mean, obviously, I know where you live right now, but I don't know anything else about your background, where you're from, or anything like that. So, tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump into your faith journey.
All right. Well, I grew up in Springfield, Virginia, which is just down the road in Northern Virginia, grew up there from fourth grade on. I have lived in the area with my husband since 1993. I am a mother to four adult children, ages 23 to 28. And my husband and I have been married 37 years. I've been working in real estate in the area for 15 years. My husband and I are a husband-wife team. So that is kind of what
okay.
I do.
I like it. Now, hopefully we're going to talk about it because four kids that are 5 years apart, that's a lot. So I'm sure that's part of your story. So let's talk
about it. It's a big part of my story.
All right. So we'll get there in just a minute. Tell me a little bit about faith in your life. When did the idea of God come into your life, and when did your faith become personal to you?
Great question. I grew up in a house that went to church on Easter and on Christmas, and pretty much we talked about God. We prayed when my grandparents were at our house for dinner. But that was it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very personal faith. It was a very much, so I never didn't believe in God. I always thought that there was a greater being, a creator. I just didn't know him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him. And when I was in high school, I had met a new friend. Her name was Mary. And we went out and we got drunk. Mm-hmm. It was the very first time that either one of us had anything to drink. I think I was a sophomore in high school, first time I ever got drunk. And neither one of us woke up the next morning feeling all that great about ourselves. Mm. And so I talked to Mary on the phone and she said, Tiffany, I don't want to do that anymore. That is not pleasing to God. And that's not how I want to live my life. And it wasn't that I didn't follow the rules attitude. It was, I don't want to disappoint my God. Mm. I was really enthralled with the idea.
It captured you.
It captured me that she cared about what God thought. And that started me on a journey. And what I really wanted was, I knew there was a God that was an all-powerful God. I knew there was a God that was a creator God. I did not understand that God wanted to be with me. Mm-hmm. Be in a personal relationship with me where I would talk to him and he would talk to me, where I would do things that he would be pleased with or not pleased with. And mm-hmm. so that really got me started looking for a personal faith. And at that time, somebody shared a bridge to knowing God. Now, I just told you I went out and got drunk. So I understood that I was a sinner, that I did not do everything right. That was very apparent to me. Mm-hmm. But I also was introduced to the idea that forgiveness is right there for the asking. And so I asked God to forgive me, and I entered into that personal relationship with him because I wanted God to know me and I wanted to know God. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship aspect of my faith has always been the most important thing about that.
I love that. You know, my faith journey started when I was 15 years old as well. And I also had a sense of like this all-knowing, all-powerful God that I also believed was good, but I had no idea that it was supposed to be personal. And so everything that you're saying, I'm like, yep, 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 me too. I was right there. And a very similar season in life as well. And I also had a scenario where I heard someone else say that they were going to give their life to God because that was the gift that he wanted most from us. And hearing that person say that captured my heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it caused me to get really thirsty and curious for, wow, is that a thing? And can I do that too? And it put me on my own personal journey. So it's so interesting how we have that in common. And also it also highlights for me that this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit works, because obviously we didn't know each other those years ago, right? This is something that the Holy Spirit does with people.
Sometimes you look back on your life and you see the hand of God. Mm-hmm. You see the Holy Spirit at work. It was like after I came to know God, after I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and I started that personal relationship with him, I look back and I see, wow, look at all the ways that God tried to reach me. Mm. Look at all the ways that God was communicating with me. Look at all the things that God did just to be in relationship with me. It's mm-hmm. really an amazing thing to look back and see.
Yeah, it is really cool. Okay, so I have a question. Did your family know that you did this? Was that something that was part of the story?
My family thought that I...
Did they think you were weird?
Probably a little bit. Uh-huh. And the more involved in campus ministry, I was involved in a campus ministry yep. in college. And I think that was probably when I went away and started getting really serious about my faith, was probably when they thought I went a little bit off the deep end. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, but what is going on? I know. Well, it wasn't long ago that an episode released where I was able to interview my mom for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And she told a story of me being 15 years old and sitting in the kitchen reading my Bible, and my parents were like, what is going on? But it caused her to get curious. And so she talked about that on her episode. If anybody's curious, you can go back and listen to it. Her name is Jan Smith.
I felt like I had a compass. I felt like before I came to faith, I was trying to figure out what was right and wrong. I was trying to figure out the definition of good. I was trying to figure out how much to give or how much to be nice to people or how much to be mean to people or how much not to give them. And I was trying to figure all that out. And I felt like one thing about coming to faith was I had a compass. I had mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit helping me, but I also had the Word of God saying, this is what it means to love. This is what it means to be good. This is what it means. And mm-hmm. so it gave me a compass to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think clarity for me, it was just like, oh, now I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really great. So I'm curious, you know, you just shared that happened when you were a teenager, and then clearly you were involved in campus ministry in college. I know you also shared you've been married to your husband for 37 years. So, you know, lots of life has been lived. You also have 4 kids that are 5 years apart. So we have to talk about that. I'm curious if there are times in your life when you've seen the hand of God be evidenced, you know, before you, where it's just so clear that God is with you or that God is working in your midst that you want to share with us today.
Well, I'd love to tell you about how God built my family, because that is one of those miracles of God that, well, it's just fun to talk about.
Okay.
So when I was 10, I had issues and had an emergency surgery where they removed one of my ovaries. Long story short, I was not able to get pregnant. I got married young at 21. So by the time that I was 29, I pretty much had figured out that I wasn't going to be able to have children biologically. It wasn't one of those you tried a million times and every month you're disappointed. It was one of those, oh, here's the reason why. It was very cut and dry, black and white. You're not going to have kids. And so that, of course, has its own emotional, emotional, you have a huge disappointment to deal with. And so, I had that to deal with. And very soon after
that. Did you go to God during that time?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can remember, you know, crying out to God, but I also knew that the thing that I had prayed for, the answer was no. Mm-hmm. The answer was no. And sometimes God says no. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we ask God for things that he, in his love and tenderness, and it doesn't feel like love and tenderness at the time. I'm not gonna lie, right? No, it doesn't.
Sure. but you know it is.
Right. Yeah. So my husband and I started the adoption process. We felt very led by God to do that. He was very on board, and we started the adoption process. Now, I told you my oldest is 28, so it's been a while. I know it's a lot harder to adopt now. Mm-hmm. But at that time, we put in, we didn't make a website like you would probably do now.
Right.
We went with an agency. We put together a little, you know, creative memories scrapbook in a notebook. Mm-hmm. And the birth moms would come in and they'd look through these books, and we got picked. And we got picked right away because we were, at that point, 29. Mm-hmm. And that's young. That's young to know that you're, you know, ready to adopt. Mm-hmm. We'd already been married a while, so we had all of these advantages.
You were checking all the boxes.
We were checking all the boxes.
The adoptive parents. Right.
But my first child we adopted, he was born premature. And we had checked the box, yes, we'll take a premature baby. Well, he was born at 25 weeks gestation.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was 1 pound, 15 ounces when he was born.
Oh, my.
And was in the hospital for 3.5 months.
Wow.
And so, you know, they weren't even sure he was going to live. As a matter of fact, when he was delivered, they were like, you know, at that age, you're usually resuscitating the child. And so they weren't sure that they were going to do that. And he came out screaming. So they were like, well, we have to save him. So they did. Mm-hmm. So that was my first adoption.
Wow. So you became a parent overnight to a 1 pound baby that was in the NICU for 3.5 months.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, I was actually on a business trip at the time. And my husband, and this was back before we had cell phones. And so my husband had left a message at the hotel. He had left a message at the conference that I was at. And finally, I called him and I was like, who died?
Right.
And he was like, no. We have a baby.
Wow.
So it was a big surprise.
My goodness. Wow. So I assume your son made it.
My son made it. He's 28 now.
And that was the beginning of your parenting journey.
That was the beginning of my parenting journey. Okay. And that was, you know, I didn't know any better. Yeah. I didn't know that this was a little bit harder than your average.
Yeah, right. So and where, you know, what were you talking to God when this happened? Like where, you know, how was your relationship with God playing a factor in this whole journey of like this phone call while you're at a conference, then you get to the hospital, then you're faced with these really surprising scenarios that you would have never imagined in a million years.
Well, I had prayed, God, I'd just love to be a mom, and I'd love to be a mom before I turned 30. So I had my 30th birthday, and I was not a mom. Mm-hmm. And I went to this conference. This was after I turned 30. And when we got the phone call, the adoption agency said he was born on November 10th, which was my 30th birthday.
Oh my goodness.
And I just cried because I was like, wow. God, you did hear and you did answer that prayer.
That's beautiful. Now
it turns out he was built, he was actually born at 12:05 and on November 11th.
Oh,
it doesn't matter because I felt like God answered my prayer.
Yeah. In another country, it would have been the 10th. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, God heard you.
And so
we think that he's not answering a lot of the times. And then we find out later he was actually answering the prayer that we prayed for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My second child, we adopted about 2.5 years later. And that was a very sticky adoption. It was actually an adoption that fell through. So we had him in our house for 3 days. And then the birth mom changed her mind.
Mm.
And so we basically had to give him back. And then after 3 weeks, she changed her mind again. Which,
wow.
They've written case studies about us because that never happens. And so then we ended up getting him back right before he turned 2 months. But it was one of those things that I had never let go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I felt like he was my kid. I had never let go. And so it's really an amazing thing. And I'd like to say that I prayed for that to happen, but I didn't. I didn't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I had two friends that did.
Mm.
And two friends that prayed for me that I would get Caleb back. And so...
Mm.
It's one of those times where I'm like, I didn't have enough faith to ask God for that, but people asked God for that on my behalf. Mm-hmm. So that was really special.
I think it's really important for us to understand that's a thing. I can remember times when I went to a friend of mine and said, I don't have the faith to believe this right now, but I think that maybe you do. Could you please pray for me? Could you please pray over this situation? And I've asked other people who do have the faith at that time to pray whenever I don't feel like I have the faith. And you're telling me about your friends that were like, we can believe even when you can't believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So after we got Caleb back and he was probably about one, we decided, okay, we'd like to finish our family. And we would like to adopt a little girl from China. And we felt like really God was telling us to go to China. So we did. We put in our paperwork to adopt from China. And one day I was out running. And that was back when I ran. I don't run anymore. I was out running. And I was like, you know what, God? I would just love to have another infant. But I know that you want us to adopt from China. So you're just going to have to drop one in our laps. And so that was my prayer. So 3 months later, I went to church and a friend of mine came up to me and she said, Tiffany, my sister's pregnant. I told her all about you. She wants you to adopt her baby.
Oh my gosh.
This never happens.
Right.
So I am like a walking story of stories of that never happen when you adopt. Including a baby falling in your lap, yeah, like I asked for.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I told my husband. And he said, you prayed what? You asked God for another child? No, I was planning on three. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, honey, but that's what I prayed for. And so we had some really dear friends. And my husband, Jeff, went and talked to them. And they're like, Jeff, what are you worried about? We're just going to pray that you and your wife get on the same page. So a couple months later, we met the birth mom for our fourth child. I'm giving away the answer, but we met her. My husband walked out of that meeting and was like, let's do it. I don't even need the weekend to think about it. Just call her and tell her we're going to do it. And so that's how we got child number four.
Oh my goodness.
Was God dropped her in our laps.
Wow. Wow, that is wild.
So we adopted Emily, who's
child number three.
Well, it's child number three.
Okay.
And then when Emily was 11 months old and Lauren was 8 months old, we traveled to China to get Lauren. So I Emily see. Actually happened before we got Lauren.
Oh,
and so
I understand.
That's how they're 3 months apart.
Oh, now I understand. Okay, the adoption was being done here in the States.
Correct.
And then the fourth child came while you were waiting to actually be able to go to China to get your third child.
Correct.
Oh. Except for now, right. I understand.
So now the one from China is our youngest. So we'll probably be number four. So.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
They're only 3 months apart. So it feels like
it's
that.
Like the, it's like having twins. Seriously.
It is like having twins and they look nothing alike since one's from China.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. You know, you hear of people that are in the adoption process and then they get pregnant. And so they end up adopting a child and then having a biological child like within weeks or months of one another. This was kind of like a scenario like that, except for you were in one adoption process and then you
exactly
and then you got another adoption process that was unexpected, overlapping it.
And the reason I love this story so much is because it shows the faithfulness of God. I was, for lack of a better word, probably devastated when I couldn't have my own kids. Mm. And then when I adopted these four kids, they're my kids. Mm-hmm. They're who was meant to be in my family. It is how God built my family. It's not how God builds every family. Mm-hmm. He's creative. He can be different. He can build families in all kinds of different ways. Mm-hmm. And we need to grasp onto that. And so I feel like God said no to that prayer that I wanted to have my own children, but he did not say no to me having a family. He mm-hmm. just was super creative mm-hmm. and wanted to display his glory. Mm-hmm. And so some of the hard things that we go through, some of the trials or tribulations or disappointments sometimes also display the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I felt like God did when building my family.
Yeah.
My story is to his glory, to the things that he did involve all kinds of people praying and all kinds of answers to prayer and all kinds of look at what God can do.
Mm-hmm. And I hear in your story that God redeems brokenness.
Exactly.
He takes brokenness and redeems it for good, for glory, and also for your good. You now have more than what you ever prayed for.
More than I prayed for. Yeah. Well, certainly more than my husband prayed for.
That's funny. Yeah. Wow. And I'm sure that over those years of adopting your children, and then, of course, a whole lifetime of raising your children, that you continue to see the hand of God. So if we fast forward to now with your children being adults and you're in a new season in life after having raised four children who were all adopted, where are you seeing God work in your life now?
Well, funny that you should talk about that. My daughter, Emily, she got pregnant mm-hmm. and, it was unplanned, mm-hmm. and there I was facing the situation on the opposite side, mm-hmm. right? On the mother of somebody who has an unplanned pregnancy. And she was very adamant. She wanted to, she wanted to be a mom. She wanted to keep this child. Mm-hmm. And so now I live with my daughter, Emily, and my grandson, Brooks, live in my basement. So I get to experience
fun times.
It is. It's a mm-hmm. really fun time. And through that, I got involved in the ministry of Embrace Grace. So the Embrace Grace is a ministry to women who have single women who have unplanned pregnancies. And so now I'm leading that at the church. So who would have ever thought that somebody like me who went through infertility, who adopted all of these children, would then end up in a ministry like this?
Wow.
Well, I wanted to share a verse with you. And that verse is in 2 Corinthians 1, 3. And it says, "Praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with any comfort we ourselves receive from God." Mm. And I think that that is such a great reminder of the hard things that we go through. Number one, God is there. He is in it with us. He comforts us with a comfort and a compassion that only He can provide. So that when we talk about what it is to be in a relationship with God, that's it. That God is walking through difficult things with you. And, you know, I talk about this one aspect of my life. I've certainly walked through other difficult things. Mm-hmm. But it's great to know that God's the God of all comfort and compassion walks with me in those things. And then I can turn around and minister to other people, encourage other people, be with other people with that same comfort that God has given me. So I love that verse because God uses the brokenness, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that in the beginning. God mm-hmm. uses the things that we don't like in our lives. And sometimes we can see them. Like I can look at my family and I can say, oh, wow, look at the amazing family God gave me that I wouldn't have without infertility. You know, I probably wouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But also, there are times that I don't know. I don't know why God put me through this difficult thing or that difficult thing. Mm-hmm. I might not see that this side of heaven, but I do know that the God of comfort and compassion is there with me in that trouble, in that hardship, in that thing that I don't like. Sometimes I don't ever get the answer as to why, but I do know that God is with me. Mm-hmm. I do know that God's right there.
And he's a good God, a God of comfort, a God of compassion. And he's for you. He's not against you. And trusting that even when we don't understand is something that gives us a peace that really, truly does surpass any type of comprehension. I think, and I can see that in what your story, in what you're sharing with us, that you have come to know this peace of his understanding, even when we don't understand, particularly with how he's shown up in all of these mighty ways. You know, he truly is so mighty.
And I still have areas that I'm praying about that mm-hmm. God has not shown up in those mighty ways. But mm-hmm. because I know God, because I've walked with him this long, I also know he's a good God. He has things planned for me that are good. And he has something planned in even the things that I'm disappointed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So do you have any quick word of advice for anyone who might be listening that is struggling to believe right now?
I think that God loves us. He created us. He is so creative that he makes people different. And he loves them and he wants to walk through life with you. He wants to know you, know your heart. He wants you to talk to him and he wants to reveal himself to you. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, once he does, once you see him, you can't unsee him. You know, once you see his hand in your life, the way that he's tried to communicate with you, you can't unsee it. So, you know, the word says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And so I think that if somebody is seeking they're going to find God, mm-hmm. they're going to find God because God wants to reveal
himself. He wants to be found by
them. He wants to be found. He wants to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to walk through life with you. He wants to walk through the good and the bad. He wants to reveal himself to you.
Mm, amen. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad I could.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.